Good morning and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us for this shared worship between the congregations of Clunie, Monymusk, Echt Midmar, Kemnay and Kintore. It's my great pleasure as the minister at Kintore, Neil Mayer, to welcome you and my colleagues for this brief chat. Just to introduce the service this morning, we're going to start by telling you a little bit about what's happening in our congregations. So at Kintore, we are gearing up for Christmas. And in the Kintore Connect, which will go out shortly in the next 2 weeks, you will have all the details of the services that are coming up in the Christmas season. So we look forward to seeing you all there. Over to you, Ewan, tell us what's happening in your neck of the woods.
Hello. Well, we're still worshipping at the usual times at 9:30 in Monymusk and at 11 o'clock at Clunie. It's helpful if people would phone me in advance to come to book a seat, although we usually have spare seats. So if you just want to come along, just do so. I don't think you'll be turned away. We're, as Neil said, we're starting about planning for Christmas as well. But before that, we're actually looking to start. We have a mainly music group that meets outdoors at the moment, but we're hoping to be able to go into the village hall in Monymusk and start a new mother and baby group because we think there's a demand for young parents and with wee ones to get together, especially at this time. So this is just at the exploratory. We're funding it and we're looking to see how we can get people. So that's something to keep. I'll keep you up to date with how that's going. It's going to hopefully start before Christmas, but will certainly be instigated after Christmas.
Right. Well, best wishes with that, Ewan. That's great. Joshua, tell us what's happening in Kemnay.
Thanks, Neil. It's a pleasure to be with you all again this week, of course. Just a reminder that our church cafe, Loaves and Fishes, is open and back in business and been asked to share on their behalf an intimation that Loaves and Fishes are collecting gifts for our local family center. Normally, these gifts are collected for the gift service in the second week of December, but since we're not yet back worshiping in our building, we're making an alternate arrangement. And so the box for collection will be available in Loaves and Fishes until the 10th of December. And so generosity for that very worthy cause is warmly appreciated by all of our families in need here in Kemnay.
Lovely. Thank you, Joshua. I think also of our colleague Sheila Mitchell from Echt and Midmar today, who is unable to be with us, but we wish her all the best. And over to you, Fiona. You are leading our homily this morning. So tell us a little bit about what to expect.
Yes, I am. So this week we're going to be looking at the passage in Matthew, which is talking about the sheep and the goats. And the interesting thing about this is when you look at pictures of sheep and goats from Palestine, the difference is not as obvious as we would maybe think of here in the UK when we see sheep and goats. So maybe we're thinking a little bit about the differences are not always obvious between, and we're going to be thinking about our intentions and our motivations. So I don't want to give too much away just now. You'll have to stay tuned to hear the rest, but as a little taster, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning.
Great. Thank you, Fiona. Well, let's go to worship then.
Come to us, God, in this time of worship. Move amongst us as the spirit that hovered over the world in its infancy, bringing to our lives light and shape and beauty and potential. Come to us, God, in this time of worship. Move amongst us as the spirit that hovered over your people at Pentecost, exciting, invigorating, challenging. Come to us, God, in this time of worship, for we seek your presence. May we be open to your leading and to the power of your word, as together we worship God. Let us pray. Loving God, as you commanded the wind and the waves to be still, speak words of authority and reassurance to any anxiousness within us. Quell any sense of frustration or busyness inside us, and help us to put our whole trust in you. As your command healed the man of his leprosy, speak words of healing to the parts of our lives that we know are in need of repair or help. as you invited Zacchaeus to come down from the tree. Extend that same invitation to us, an invitation to be in your company, to spend time in your presence. Lord Jesus Christ, we hear your call and come gladly to this time of worship. In these minutes together, speak to us all, each according to our need, and may we find something of hope, comfort, and reassurance as we gather in your presence. In these days, we're especially mindful of how difficult life can be, of how challenging or unfair life can seem. So forgive us if what gets our attention isn't the most important or the most urgent. Forgive us if the wider needs of the world become eclipsed by our own concerns or priorities. Forgive us if our vision fails to take in the length and breadth and height and depth of your incredible creation, and we miss the wonders that are around us. And forgive us if we become deaf or indifferent to the world's cries for help, paralyzed or overwhelmed by the seemingly inexhaustible need that's around us. In this worship, may we sense your voice calling, reaching out to each and every one of us. We bring to mind Jesus' words, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." And we too take heart, for those words are offered to us. Lord God, help us always to rejoice in your love and to celebrate the gift of your goodness. For this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us hear now God's word. I want to read you from Matthew's Gospel at chapter 25,
reading from verse 31 through to 46, the story of the sheep and the goats. Hear God speak to us now in these few verses. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in the heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of these, the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Amen. And thanks be to God for his most precious word.
Good morning. Let us pray. Lord God, may my thoughts be your thoughts. May my words be your words. And may all that I do only be to glorify you. Amen. In the 1800s, in the Virgin Islands, which are situated in the Caribbean, they encountered an infestation of rats. This was a non-native species which had come onto the island through the cargo ships. Now, it was a warm climate. The rats quite liked it, and they bred very quickly. They took a particular liking to the sugarcane fields and caused a massive amount of damage and resulting loss of profit. So the local farmers banded together to try to control the population, and somebody came up with the bright idea of introducing mongoose to the islands. Sadly, they hadn't done their homework. Now, mongoose love to eat small mammals and should theoretically have kept the rat population under control. However, mongoose tend to be very active during the day and like to sleep in their cosy little burrows at night, whilst rats are more nocturnal in the general way of things, and they prefer to nap during the day. So the result was lots of mongoose, lots of rats, two invasive non-native species in the Caribbean islands, both of which disrupted the ecosystem. This feels like a classic case of the path to hell being paved with good intentions. But what does it mean to have good intentions? I might say that it was my intention to put a load of washing on this morning before worship. Well, that would be a good intention, and one which would be appreciated by everybody in the house. But I didn't follow through with my intention to wash the clothes. Why not? Maybe I was just a bit lazy this morning. Couldn't really be bothered getting out of bed early enough. Intention is certainly good, but I didn't follow through with the actions. And so the clothes remain dirty. My daughter doesn't have a school uniform for tomorrow. And unless I follow through with action, no amount of good intentions will ever change that fact. So let's have a look at the passage from Matthew this morning and the context in which we should read the difference between the righteous and the unworthy. It's not what we do, but the intention with which we do it, which is making all the difference. Jesus isn't asking for perfection. He knows our humanity and our weaknesses too well for that. So let's put this into practical terms. Let's think about giving to charity, for instance. Is giving to charity a public event, which everybody needs to know about? Or is it something which we do in private, in secret? Now, I don't know about you, but these public events, such as Children in Need, which has just been a couple of weeks ago, Comic Relief, they raise a lot of money, which does a lot of good. But I tend to find these a little obscene, and I do wonder whether some of the celebrities have more interest in furthering their careers than in raising money. Is being seen to be good more important than actually doing good? Maybe this is cynical. It's certainly judgmental, and it really is not my place to judge the motivations of another. This is made quite clear within the passage as well. We're not called to pass judgment upon one another. It's Jesus who's the judge. There is a reason why it is sheep and goats which will be separated. Unlike the sheep and the goats we might find in Scotland today, there are varieties in Palestine which look remarkably similar to one another. You have to look very closely to tell the difference. And if you saw one on its own, you might be unsure. In the same way, we cannot tell just by looking at a person where their true motivation lies. And sometimes the person who is shouting the loudest and making the biggest display of being good and charitable will be mean-spirited and selfish when the spotlight is turned off them. Or maybe they are using their celebrity or their popular status in order to truly highlight a good cause. And maybe they're as genuine behind the scenes as they are in front of the camera. We can speculate on the motivations of others, but we can't truly know. What we can know, what we can influence, is our own motivations. When we're charitable, when we offer that helping hand to other people, why is it we're doing it? Do we want to look good? Or are we doing the right thing? Are we indiscriminate in our helping? Or do we only help those like us? Those we maybe think are deserving? Do we make a judgment call on who is worthy of receiving our help? Jesus never refused to help anyone in need, and some were very grateful, but others weren't. Many of the people he healed were on the outskirts of society, and more than healing their physical ailments, he restored them to their position. He gave them back their pride and their self-respect. But they didn't all thank him for it. Don't get me wrong. As individuals, or even as our own church community, we cannot help everyone in need. We don't have the capacity for that, either emotional or financial. We need to listen for who we are truly called to help and focus on them And we need to trust that others will be called to help in different situations. We don't do it to be recognised or thanked. We do it because it's the right thing to do. Now, the Reformed tradition to which we belong focuses on the importance of God's grace being free for all. We don't earn it. We don't work for it. God loves us because God loves us. We could never do enough to earn that. So why bother to reach out to others? This passage seems to contradict this understanding. It seems to suggest that we need to work for our salvation. We need to be doing the right things in order to be saved. But is this what it's actually saying? We love God because he first loved us. We don't just know about him. This isn't an academic point or description of an abstract deity. We know God. We have a relationship with him. We are the recipients of God's incomparable love. When we are in a relationship, then that love is reciprocated. It's a two-way thing. When you love someone, you do things for them, not because you have to, but because you want to. You want to express that love in a practical way. So we do not have to work for our salvation. We already have that through God's grace. What we are called to do is to express our relationship with God in a practical way towards one another. Show each other that care and concern which God has shown to us. To be as indiscriminate in our love for others as God has been in his love for us. Now, this parable is only one aspect of the great picture which Jesus is building up throughout Matthew. Earlier in the book, Jesus describes himself as the bridegroom and as the master. He is a king and he is a judge. In each situation, he gives his listeners examples of how they may choose to respond. They can be wise and watchful. They can be productive. Or they can be foolish and they can be lazy. So this morning I lay this challenge before you and also before myself. Are we judgmental in our charity? Do we give to receive thanks? Do we give only to those we deem worthy? Maybe we give to look good. Is our giving and our charity about us? Or is it about the recipient? What is our motivation? Today is traditionally known as Christ the King Sunday. It is the last day of the Christian year. Next week, we're moving into the season of Advent and a new year. Today is the culmination of the position of Christ in our lives, which started last year with Advent, when we looked at Jesus entering the world as an infant. We moved through his life and mission, his death and resurrection, and what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, we see Christ as the King of our lives, the Lord of all, the judge of the world. We are called to worship him with all that we have and all that we are. So let us worship him with our love. Let us worship him with our response to the outpouring of his love and grace to us by showing that love and that grace to others. The path to hell may well be paved with good intentions. But the path to heaven is paved with the right motivations. When our responses are Christ-centered, then we are living the life we are called to live. Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, what can it mean for us to claim you as our King? What royal face have you revealed whose praise the church would sing? Aspiring not to glory's height, to power, wealth, or fame, you walked a different, a lowly way, the Father's will, your aim. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, our world is full of false examples of what makes someone a good leader. Ruthlessness, violence, vengeance, selfish ambition, and the accumulation of power. Help us to see such kings and rulers for who and what they really are, as feeble attempts to displace you from your rightful place in each of our lives. And on this day, we do confess you again to be our true King, our true leader. And we confess as well our great need for you as we bring the many needs of our world before your glorious throne of mercy and grace. This day, we pray for the country of Afghanistan, where evidence of the murder of dozens of innocent civilians by Australian special forces has recently been revealed. We pray for the countries of Italy, France, India, the United States, United Kingdom, Brazil, and other nations that have failed to control the spread of COVID-19 because of a lack of policies, political infighting, or selfish choices. We pray for the country of Ethiopia and all of its people, where thousands of civilians are fleeing unrest and entering the country of Sudan on foot because of violence and danger in their own communities. All these requests, all these needs, and all the unspoken ones upon our hearts, we lift up before you now, O Lord. And as we pray for the needs of our world, help us, Lord, to also remember the very good work that you are doing in the world today. We give you thanks that in the country of Vietnam, a rapid and coordinated response to COVID-19 has kept cases and deaths very low while keeping their economy strong. We give you thanks that countries like Saudi Arabia are making strides towards equality between men and women. In Saudi Arabia, the first women's football league has recently been formed, reversing years and years of policies against the inclusion of women in popular sporting activities. May such good work continue. May it increase. May it overflow. As we honor and praise you this day and every day, Lord Jesus, purge us of all our tendencies towards false loyalty to the false kings of power, wealth, and fame. And instead fill us again and again with the servant leadership and servant love that you perfectly embodied in your ministry. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, who emptied himself so that we too might become children of God, serving all and loving all in Christ's name. Amen.
And now, receive the benediction. As we leave our worship spaces this morning, may each of us know that we are loved and valued by God. And may we continue to act with good motivations and good intentions, knowing that God sees into the depths of our hearts. So go now with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.